Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back. We are back for our producer KJ. My microphone's still doing that thing, or it's adjusting, but that's all right. So, thank you everybody for joining. I'm just gonna keep beating the button, I guess. Thank you everybody for joining us here today. I hope I don't sound quieter, but I thought we. But anyways, thank you everybody here for joining today. Really rough. Game, obviously, we're going to be talking about all that. The tears have been, they're still flowing, at least on my end. 28-13, we're up 13-10 at half, decided to pack our bags up and go home on offense in the second half. We'll be talking about all that. Before we do on Big Z, let's get to the rest. We got UJ.
Hello, everybody.
And Red Dog.
Yo!
All right. So, gentlemen, the Lions, as I mentioned, don't start off the game hot in the first quarter, down 10-0. Comeback score 13 in the second quarter. And they're looking really good. All the momentum going into halftime. Nice yep. drive, touchdown pass to Josh Reynolds. And then Julian Aquara gets a sack. They don't call intentional grounding, even though it was about one of the more obvious intentional groundings you'll see in the NFL. And then the Lions decided to go offsides on fourth and forever, which is exactly what the Bears were hoping for. And then they throw a deep pass downfield because, you know, it's a free play. And DJ Moore is wide open, gets absolutely toasted. Jerry Jacobs gets toasted by DJ Moore for the second long touchdown pass the Lions have given up against DJ Moore. And then the Lions fumble away the ball to the Bears to say, here you go. We don't want the ball back yet. It's not our turn. You guys still got another Hickey. Chance. And then the game just kind of falls apart from there. The offense cannot respond in the second half whatsoever. So.
No response.
What is wrong with the Lions in the third quarter, you guys? Especially our offense. Our offense constantly comes out extremely flat. I feel like we have a 3-and-out almost every game in the third quarter.
News, Z, is we're about to be out of the third quarter of the season, so that's good. We're into the fourth quarter.
I don't know.
It is a weird thing. It's hard to. It's probably a mentality or something like where they think something's working and they just don't. I don't know. It's hard to say. It's just got to be coaching, right? Like the coaches are not anticipating the team's moves. They're adjustments. It's a weird thing, but I can't put my finger on it.
It makes you wonder if the Bears chose to receive first just so the Lions would come out flat in the third quarter because they knew they would, you know. it's strange. It's unbelievable how they come out so flat. I mean, this is a chance they had a good momentum in the second quarter, and then to come out like that with a quick 3-and-out and just turn momentum right over to the Bears. It was
– Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard to explain, Big Z. I wish I had an answer for that one.
I mean, part of the problem for me in the and not just that drive, but the whole second half, the Lions seemed to get away from the run game. Only 24 carries in this game, 11 by Gibbs, 10 by Montgomery. And then they go back to it like when they need to start throwing in the fourth quarter, like there's 8 minutes
that
left.
That was the thing, though. It wasn't the first sequence play, like run, pass, like run for no gain, pass. It was something like that, though.
I don't know. I mean,
they just like suddenly got stuffed. Honestly, I felt like the run was getting stuffed and they tried to pass or like they didn't try to pass. They should have played some play action or.
Are you talking about the second half?
I'm going to say this. Yes, I am talking about the second half.
He came out with a pass play. It was a bootleg that went for no gain, incomplete pass. And then they ran two up the middle. and had to punt.
I don't know. All the three and outs just kind of blur together because there's so many. But I will say I have one theory that's really, and I've kind of mentioned this before, and I think what teams are getting onto is, like, we attack the deep part of the field a lot, but what we don't attack is the deep sideline of the field. I haven't seen a single, like, we run one vertical route to JMO today, but they get pressure, so it, you know,
that was on the first. That was on that first, the three and out of the third quarter there.
Oh gosh, I don't know at all.
And that was a bad block by Montgomery. Montgomery holds his block. Goff. I mean, JMO had his guy beat by 2.5 steps.
It's that classic thinking you got a kill shot, but these guys are super athletes, and he just knocked them kind of to the side instead of off his feet. And yeah, it was a bad block. But like, that was the one time, though, and JMO was there. I would have gone right back to that same freaking play. But we got to be enforcing our will, because I think what's happening so much is these defenses starting to settle into the places where Jared Goff likes to go, which is the middle of the field. And they're sitting all their guys, they're stopping, they're playing up on the run, and they're sitting their safeties in like the deep interior. They're not even scared of the sidelines, because like, we don't go deep sidelines on like verticals. You got to just have plays that are designed to step back and have Jared Goff just heave that ball as far as he can for JMO. And no, like, oh, but what are they giving us? No, you got to just enforce your will. And that's what's driving me crazy. Ben Johnson is way too passive in the way he attacks the field. He's not enforcing our will in the pass game. He tries to on the run game, I'll give him that, but he does not enforce their will at all in the pass game, and that's frustrating. And I think that's letting us be predictable.
Especially with having a guy like JMO, too. And the one time he does get open, there's a little pressure, so he can't really step into the throw. He's kind of, you know, backfooting it and couldn't put his whole arm into it. But this also adds a perception that Goff can't throw the deep ball, too. I mean, because I'm just saying it adds to the perception. All right, I'm not saying he can't do it, but it still adds to it. And also adding to it is, why don't we do it once in a while?
Maybe that's the plan. Maybe they're just lulling everyone into.
I have a more general question I was thinking of during the game, and it's kind of been on my mind. Are the Lions not developing JMO well?
I don't think that's the case.
Is it just bad play calling? I just feel if you put JMO on some of these, like if you put him on, I don't know, the Eagles or something like that, or the Cowboys.
49ers,
you see more of his abilities shown than what we've seen in the offense.
I think it's a decision. I don't think it's a matter of his development. I think it's a matter of the coaches not being, like, they're not manufacturing plays for him. They're not creating, like, they had one design touch to him today, like, and great, like, on a reverse. It was okay, you know, predictable because we've done it a few times. But, like, he got a few yards. It wasn't a bad play. But, like, why? He's so damn fast. Like, you got to have plays that just are designed to get the ball in his hands. Where's the screens designed to him? Like, we keep throwing it out to Monty, and, like, his hands are all right, but, like, he's dropped a few lately. And, like, you know, why? Like, you could do so many things to get the ball in his hands. Ra?
Monty.
Oh, Monty. Like, yeah, his hands, like, not great.
Not great. Like, they're fine when you get them on, like, a screen or something. But, like, that one over the middle, it didn't matter because it was a false start. But, like he drops that. Like, he dropped the one last week against the Saints. I just don't – losing a little trust in his hands. But I'm just saying, like, you got to wait. He's so damn fast. Get the ball in his hands. There's so many ways. So I don't think it's a matter of he's not developing. I just think they're not making a conscious enough effort – to make him important in the game. And that could be a weird seniority thing, like, because Amon-Ra and all these other guys are technically ahead of him. I don't get that. Don't get it.
No.
You got to get that guy involved. He's a deadly weapon. He's a weapon of mass destruction. He can take over games.
And the Lions traded up for him, so they're, like, heavily invested. It is really very strange.
Well, I think that's Ben Johnson. He's got to stop just turning this offense into take what they'll give you. And sometimes you just got to go take what they won't give you. I mean, like, you just got to take it. Like, and we don't have that kind of aggression in this offense, in the pass game, at least. Like, our run game is amazing. Like, what we pull off sometimes, like, we do things with our run game that most teams would never dream of, like converting on third and long and stuff. And oh my God, I just gotta say this because that cut by Monty at the end during that last drive, where we actually kind of had a drive going, and he got the ball going left and like made a sick cut to get across and gain like 12 yards on third and like 12. That was so sick.
Yeah,
he's ridiculous sometimes. Like, oh my gosh.
And we did have like 130 some yards against the number one rush defense in the
averaged 5.8 yards a carry.
Right.
So yeah, we.
That's what I'm saying. They got away from it. I thought a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. There were times when, like for instance, that fourth down and one from our own 30 when Campbell should have probably punted. But okay, you need 1 yard. What are we gonna do? Some stretched out long play to give the Bears defense plenty of time to
muster.
You know, it had to be something hard and fast or a pass or something. But no, they ran a stretch play and that was just blown up.
Yeah, bad play call.
Yeah,
it was a
good play call. I like the Laporta handoff. That was
that got me excited. I mean, he's so dynamic with the ball in his hands. Like, I think he could actually be a weapon in that capacity, like a real one. Like, he could basically be another running back the way he runs with the ball, and maybe even one you use down the stretch to like wear teams down, you know. But
yeah,
that was a really cool, exciting play to see.
But aside from some of the execution problems, I think Ben Johnson did have a not a great game calling plays today. It was a rough game for him.
I mean, and you know, it's like everything. There was plenty of blame to go around on that offense. Goff deserves blame. The offensive line deserves blame. Receivers deserve blame. Like, how many drop passes? Like, Amon-Ra, what has happened to him today? Like, I think, like, I don't know. It's something about he was thinking the wrong things today. Like, even his pregame interviews, like during the week, I think he had too much about like what was going to happen in the podcast after the game in his head or something. I don't know, but like he was not himself today. Like, he even mentioned like, oh god, like you know, it was really good last week. Like after for the podcast, because they asked him about his podcast with his brother and stuff. I don't know. I think there's just a little bit of a distracting game for him. It was not his best effort, and he let balls that normally would have caught bounce right out of his hands.
Yeah. I think just kind of big picture, I think this team's sort of up against a little plateau, a wall here, if you will, whatever.
Yeah.
It's hard being the team that's being chased. They've won a lot of games this year. You know, it puts a lot of pressure on them. Whether they think it does or not, it does.
Sure.
And it's pressures on the coaches to keep doing it, on the players to keep doing it. There's a tendency to tighten up a little bit, you know, when you get this lead and you're on it, you know, you're not playing free and loose. Like the Bears have nothing to lose. They're playing wide open, free and loose, kind of like we did last year at the end of the year when, you know, it didn't matter who we played, man. We were just like balls to the wall. They didn't care about anything. I mean, they didn't really care about the score. They just didn't care.
No.
They were just playing free as they can be. And now they're not. They're playing a little tight.
That's a really good point, UJ.
That was actually on my mind as well, UJ. My thought was,
like, they're about as tight as the people in our, like, our chat during the game, like, who are, like, every time something goes bad, like, But, like, the offense struggled today. I'm going to put this game mostly on the offense. I know the defense didn't play perfect, but I think, like, so, like, can we switch defense now, Z? Do we feel, are we?
No,
like,
not
Z,
yet.
Finish
not
your
yet.
Point, though.
You had a point? Sorry.
No, the point I was thinking of today, a little after the game, was the team... Like, which team would you take? The team at the end of last season that we saw, or this team right now? I don't know.
Well,
that kind of concerns me to a degree. We saw like a team that was constantly improving all the way to the end of the season last year, and this year, right now, we're seeing a team that's not getting better.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna do a little history lesson here, or reminder, just because like context is needed. We also had 6 losses before we started said progression, so. You know, let's not forget the crucial part that we had pretty much already burnt through our losses at the beginning of the season before we turned things around. So I'm just saying,
point.
This team is on a whole nother level than last year's team in certain ways. I agree. At the end of last year, we were hot. We were hot. We had certain key things going for us, like James Houston coming out of nowhere to be a sack specialist.
Is this part of the progression of a winning team? All right.
Oh, sure. I'm sorry. Take over, UJ.
Sorry, Red Dog. I thought you were finished.
I thought he was up too.
I was trying to slip in there.
You slipped in, all right.
I slipped in too early, apparently.
No, but like last year we started off like shit. Like, and this year we've been at a nice steady pace. We haven't put together two losses in a row yet this year. We're 9-4. This defense has had struggles, but has played winning football in the most important parts of most games. Our offense has been elite for most of the season. Today, our offense let down. But yeah, no, at the end of last year, we were hot as hell, and we looked really good. I think we could look like that in the next five or next four games, too. I think that's very feasible, especially because the thing that stuck out to me today was that defense. That defense showed me some seriously encouraging signs today, but go on.
Okay. Go ahead, Z.
No, you, Jay, you're the one that was going to say something.
No, I was just, my point was to be, in terms of a team becoming a winning team, that's Campbell trying to teach these guys how to win. First, it was just win one game. Then it was win a road game. Then it was win two in a row, you know, and teaching them how to win. Well, you know, in the big picture, winning in a long 17-game season, you know, and then you're winning your division. You're the one being chased. It's always easier being the chaser than the one being chased. And this is where the really good teams have to, this is the hurdle they have to climb. When they're ahead, it's at the end of the season, it's crunch time, and all these teams are playing, they have nothing to lose. Every game becomes harder and harder. This is what they have to learn right now. This is what they're learning right now. And I think they'll get there. I think they'll forge through this. They'll win a couple of these next games, and we'll be in the playoffs, so we'll win the division. But this is a hurdle they have to fight through. They have to learn how to play loose and free. And under these circumstances, with all the stress on them right now, trying to win the division, hold on, and all this stuff, you know, they got to put that out of their minds somehow, and just play loose and like they were before.
Yeah, because especially the offense today, it was just so sloppy. It was sloppy, like a lot of false starts, penalties. The Lions really, really need Frank Ragnow back, at least for the playoffs. You know, if he's not going to, maybe just sit him to the rest of the. See, they can't sit the rest of the season. They need him badly. We just don't have depth of that right guard spot. It's rough.
The good thing is, and like this is an easy thing to forget too, is that players are progressing. Like a guy like Awisaka, or I forget how to say his name, Awasaki, Awasakio,
Sawika. Yeah, I forgot how to pronounce it.
I mean, like guys like him are getting reps and experience in these games.
That's nice.
And you know that. that's huge though. Like you gotta develop their talent developing, you know, like every battle, every game is a battle that makes them, you know, puts another little peg in their corner that, you know, they'll build on towards the end of the season. And we still got four regular season games to go. And like, I think these guys are just going to keep growing. Like, and that's where, you know, if we do get Ragnow back and then we got even more experienced backups, I mean, I just think like there's a lot of silver lining. Can we go to the defense now? Because I really want to talk about this defensive performance.
All right, we can talk about it. Sure.
Because I think this scoreboard does not reflect how well they played today.
To a degree.
Like, no, obviously they weren't perfect. They gave up some big plays, like the touchdown pass. That was a bad call on fourth and long to just send the house and leave Jerry on an island with
Who jumped off sides?
Hutch
did. I mean, it didn't matter, but Hutch did.
It did matter. That's why they threw the ball deep.
Yeah, it was a free play.
They threw it deep because he was wide open?
They might not even have snapped if he didn't go offsides. They snapped it after he went offsides. So yeah. I don't think they were going to snap the ball unless somebody went offsides.
Oh, okay. They got exactly what they wanted. I didn't think about that.
Stupid.
Like, I just figured
it was moronic. It pisses me off.
Pissed Hutch off, and he was devastated after. Listen to the interview. He was really pissed today. Hey, look, I mean, yeah, he made a mistake. But, like that defense showed something today, and you saw it if you were paying attention, where, like, sure, like, Fields broke out for a couple, but, like, only a couple. And you watched – there was one point in that game, it was, like, towards the end of the first half, where Fields was back, had a lot of time, and the pass rush was starting to collapse and was getting in on him, and he, like, kind of rolled, and, like, the whole thing moved with him. And, like, and everyone was in their lanes. He had nowhere to go. Like, everything closed down. The pass rush was, like – miles ahead of where it's been in previous, and I think that's a mega breakthrough for this defense. Because my theory on why this defense struggles so much is that Glenn demands a lot. He has a demanding scheme that demands a level of execution that is not easy to pull off. It's very coordinated and detail-oriented. You have to play the run on the way to the pass, and it's just really hard to execute, and I think our personnel has struggled with it thus far, but today they showed something. Kamish was an animal out there. He was we thought he would be this year. Hutch got home for a sack finally. Like, the blitzes were a little more effective. Like, the whole scheme looked way better. I mean, yeah, we had our plays where we, you know, got stalled and he made plays, but like, it was a breakthrough today. I think the defense really stepped up and gave that our offense plenty of opportunities to win that game. Our offense just dropped the ball completely today.
Before that fourth and forever, the Lions did get screwed by just an awful officiating call.
Horrible call.
Yeah.
I mean, just the offsides is moronic. Well, so was the...
I want to go over that because
intentional grounding. I mean, it was clear as day.
It was an obvious.
They said it was caused by the hit. That
did
was
they
not
call
the
it
case.
An incomplete pass?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't get. I didn't have sound. So
what do you think it was?
Put it all,
yeah, what did you think? They
a sack it? Or a fumble? I didn't realize they called it incomplete pass. Oh my god! See, though, that's playing the refs. That's nothing new. That's no excuse. But like, the refs were shit today.
No, I mean,
like,
it was still fourth and 13.
Total homers.
But it,
oh, I like.
It would have been fourth
and
20.
Anzalone got a personal foul on that one where it was a very borderline late hit out of bounds. I still think his one foot was in bounds when he hit the guy. But like, then he got mugged on the sideline by like the whole team, and they just called it on him. Like, that sideline was downright like ridiculous. They shoved him in the back, and like, they were like 20 guys around him, and they didn't call anything on that sideline. Those refs were homers today. But you know, that's not an excuse. It was our offense that let us down today. I think this defense showed something today that gives me a lot of hope for the future, which is that we can generate pass rush and contain a mobile quarterback, you know, for the most part.
That's what I was encouraged by, too, is when Fields, in the beginning of the game, ran against us like at will, like he'd done in the previous games, except I think it was midway through the second quarter, whenever they suddenly shut down Fields. He could not run. And they had several runs designed for Fields, and he was getting shut down for no gain.
Most notable, the hit Derek Barnes laid on him was nice.
That was sweet. That was sweetness.
That was good to see.
It was
There were two monster hits in this game. That one on Fields, and then
Anzo.
Who on the receiver someone just smoked him.
It was Anzalone when he just Anzalone trucked him straight head on. Like, after Hutch missed the tackle at in the backfield.
Right. Yeah.
That was a terrific juke by that running back. But it was a good play by Hutch for the most part.
Not even a juke. He just tiny.
He just slipped him. I mean, it was really good contained by Hutch.
Smoked him. That was beautiful.
Oh, it was sick.
So they are playing with aggression, and they're playing hard.
I thought the defense looked...
I don't think you can say they're not.
This was one of their best games of the
better,
season.
To your point, I agree with you generally. It was a step up for our defense in this game.
Key categories, mainly the pass rush. Okay, I mean, look, I'm
I just want to caveat it. This is a bottom five offense in the NFL. So.
Oh my god, whatever. They're not. They're playing let's pull the argument everyone loves to pull the last several games, right? Like, and just ignore the season. They aren't playing like a bottom five offense lately. I mean, they're playing good. They got good players. I don't even care.
They barely scratched out double digits against the Vikings. No longer in the week.
Okay,
week
and who what did the Saints scratch out against the Vikings today?
Who played him? The Raiders with a
what did they scratch out? Zero points. Okay, whatever. It doesn't matter. The point is, you can only play the games you're playing against. Comparisons in football are like a major path to folly, because every time you try to be like, oh, look at how they played against this team and blah blah blah, it always fails you. I bet people picked the Patriots to lose this week. I bet that was a pretty common bet. But look what they did. Football in the NFL is literally ever given Sunday, and all you can think about is the matchup in front of you. And today, you know, the Bears got the better of us, but the defense really showed something that we haven't seen from them in a while, which is that under the circumstances, under the criteria that Glenn puts on them, they were able to generate pass rush without sacrificing rush lanes and letting a quarterback break out on them regularly. And that's a huge milestone for this defense, because that's been our biggest weakness, bar none, on this entire team. On this entire team, everyone knows it's our pass rush. It's like, can you think of anything else that you're more concerned about on this team for all you people that worry?
Jerry Jacobs.
You're more worried about Jerry than our pass rush?
No, I mean, Jerry, I mean, I've always said that the pass rush is the most important thing for a defense.
Yeah, so, but like, are you more worried about Jerry or our pass rush?
I guess the pass rush. Jerry's close second,
no. Jerry also made a really great play today.
He made one good one, yeah.
Okay. What about you, UJ? Anything besides our pass rush that you're more concerned about?
The offense.
Okay, God, now you're more concerned about the offense. See, it's just so fickle.
I am at the moment, I am.
Like, okay,
I don't agree with your notion that you shouldn't compare. That's ridiculous. I think you have to compare. How do you measure yourself?
Well, like, okay, like, we beat teams.
That's what a record is. A record is a comparison.
No, it's this idea that because we beat this one team, and then when they play another team and they beat them, that means something. It doesn't. Those games are – every game is its own unique game, and you can't look at it against comparisons to how teams played against other teams. Like, there's just differences that don't matter when you make those comparisons, and they always end up with silly analysis that goes wrong. And you know this is true. I guarantee you can think of times where you've been like, oh, well, this team destroyed, you know, this team, so, like they must be really great, but then we destroyed this team, so we must be better than that team, and then you realize it's all nonsense, and every game and every team stands on their own merits of their record, not the comparisons to how teams did against other teams and who they beat and who those teams beat. Like, so what? The Bears have a low-rated defense. Well, guess what? What did our offense do to help our defense today?
Nothing. They did.
So, like, it's not like this offense went off on our defense today. They had a couple good drives, and mostly we held them to field goals. I mean, it wasn't like our defense just got shredded today.
Well, our interior D-line leaves lots to be desired still. They're the ones that gave up the rushing lanes of Fields, especially early in the game on those third and longs. Our DNs actually did their job. The D tackles just got completely washed up down the middle, which is just happen. They really miss Aleem McNeil, and he's on the IR. Who knows when he's going to be coming back now. So that's up to the aisle.
Early, though. What about later? Are we just going to forget about what they did after that? You're just going to hold on to the first couple breakouts?
Are you saying the first half in the first quarter doesn't matter either? Do we just throw that out the window, too? I mean, the argument goes both ways. Red dog.
No, but the overall of that game was they generally settled down and really put, you know, some serious breaks on that Bears offense today. And if it wasn't for the offense, I think we win that game. Like, if we had any offense today outside of two drives, we probably win that game. The offense sucked today. Like, outside of two drives, they sucked. The defense played. They battled. They made plays. They had a turnover on downs. They made plays. The defense or the offense did crap.
You can't win the game with a -3 turnover again.
Right. Like, exactly.
It's horrible. Goff, so bad interception.
Because I know that offense is better than that. And I know this defense is finally showing the right signs.
And the interception was bad. The fumble was bad. First interception.
I mean, yes, Red Dog, it was a step in the right direction. I'd rather have the win, of course. It'd be nice to see it. We'll see if we see it 2 weeks in a row. I mean, 28 points, like you said, doesn't describe the whole thing. I just thought it was an okay defensive performance. I wouldn't call it like a great defensive performance by any means.
No, it wasn't great, but it just showed serious progression in our most concerning category. That's all. And I think it leaves me more encouraged because I would like it. Just the signs haven't been there, right? Like, I'm as optimistic as it gets, but these last, like, however many weeks, this defensive pass rush has looked like it won't ever win a battle again in sack category. Like, they just haven't even gotten close. They're like, Hutch is like battling against like everybody and just getting pressures, but not even close to sacks. Today, they finally showed the ability to actually wreck the O-line and get in there. Like, it was just, thank God, it's just been so long. Like, and
doesn't Hutch remind, very true. Doesn't Hutch remind you of a ballerina sometime? He just spins and spins.
He spins too much. Spins.
he needs we've talked about that.
He just spins that. And spins.
And, then... and they're all ready for it. Oh, he's going that way. He must be spinning back this way. But like, Julian Aquara's, that was a great pass rush.
Yeah, just get low and get up.
Yeah.
He got so low, he fell to the ground, but he got up. And like, he got past his guy just enough.
He popped off that ground like it was hot lava, though. Yeah. Like, damn, he was down for like the tiniest instant. And
I think Campbell continues to look pretty good.
Oh, he's getting ready for breakout.
I think he's playing a lot better in the last couple weeks.
He's going to start making plays soon, I think. Because he's like, I mean, he makes plays, but like they're very like standard like tackles and running to the ball. But like, I think he's going to be making coming closer and closer to turnovers and explosive plays.
Our secondary still gives me a lot of, I mean, it, like we've mentioned this before, like pass rush and secondary.
What about Vildor?
But you know, actually, you know, had a great game today in his limited snaps is Jalen Reeves-Maven. He played awesome.
Yes, he did.
He's not out there a ton, but when he did, he was great.
He's like a dynamo when he.
I'm pretty sure he was the spy on that fourth down when he batted it down. I think he was sitting there waiting to chase Fields out of the backfield. And I love him as a spy because he's an absolute heat-seeking missile, like on special teams and everything. Like that's a perfect for his skill set. He's a fast, big linebacker. Like I love his involvement because I've always felt like he was one of those guys that just needed more opportunity to really contribute to the defense. Because I think he's a good player.
Interesting to see Iffy out there more today over Tracy Walker.
He made a couple plays too.
He did.
Oh, nice plays.
He's more physical safety at least now. I mean, Tracy Walker just isn't not quite the same since his injury. It seems like a half a step slow. And the other guy that was the other guy. I mean, he made a nice play, but he just I thought we'd see a little more out of him this year than we've seen thus far. Especially from a ball hawking standpoint.
Kirby, you talking about?
Yeah,
guys like him need a pass rush though.
I agree.
Guys like him, ball hawks need pass rushes to make their plays typically, at least to make them frequently. And that's just been non-existent for too long this year.
Yeah, he was supposed to have the big breakout year, but he's been pretty quiet for the most part.
Really quiet, almost an afterthought in a lot of these
games. His last pick was against the Bears.
Made a nice play today, broke up a play in the end zone, which is really nice. He made a few plays today. So
there were some, like, the defense is not perfect, and I'm not even trying to put it in, like, above average. It's just a solid average defense. And today, though, they showed I just needed some sign that, like, if we're going to make because if you look at our division, look at the Packers, look at the Bears, the things that you see out of them are their pass rushes are pretty fucking vicious. Like, you know, like, who they got? Rashawn Gary and those other dudes over in Packers, they're rough to protect. And now with Sweat on the Bears and, like, their defensive pass rush is pretty nasty. And that, like, a pass rush can make up for so much. And our pass rush has just not been what we've expected it or hoped it would be this year.
I mean, and part of the problem is the Lions have invested in second-round picks that have not panned out, especially from a pass rush standpoint. And Pascal.
Yeah.
Pascal's coming
Levi
along,
and Muzurike.
Levi, I don't know. I have any comment. But Pascal's becoming a player. He was in there on a couple plays today. I don't think they ever expected him to be a super – well, maybe eventually a super dynamic pass rusher.
Pascal did not record a stat today. Yes, he did. Sorry, he assisted on a tackle.
I mean, he was getting pressures, though. I noticed him getting some pressures. I think he's coming along. I'm not crowning him or anything yet, but he's developing. He's getting the reps to learn and grow. I still think he's going to be a hell of a player. He's got some really excellent traits that I think, in the right attitude, he's going to get better.
Well, it's going to be an interesting assessment this offseason because, like
you thought, Quintez Cephas was going to be a Hall of Famer, Red Dog.
Who's that?
I'm just talking about still just
possible,
optimism
man.
On all these players.
I know.
Sorry, UJ. I think I cut you off. I think it's like
okay. I just said they're going to have to take a long, hard look at this, especially the defense. And you're right. See, some of these second round picks have not been panning out.
No.
You guys were hoping to get some good rush from. It's not that we haven't been addressing the position in the draft. They're just not panning out.
Yeah, they're going to have to reconsider maybe how they approach the defense line? Like, is it through free agency rather? Or
yeah, I mean, like, these players are like okay players. They're good role players, I think. But we need someone dynamic. Someone who's gonna like be a game changer. And we aside from Hutch, we don't have those people on that.
Charles Harris wasn't even active today. Thank God, because he hasn't done anything.
I didn't know he was still on the team. I mean,
honestly, Julian,
when's the last time you heard his name called on anything?
Julian's more promising right now than him.
Yeah.
I want to see him get more reps because, like, at least Julian has that splash factor. Like, I know he's lacking consistency and that's been his biggest problem, but at least he has that, like, that ability when he puts it together to really kind of pop off. Whereas, you know, we don't really have too many of those guys outside. Like, I was really surprised they Bohannon and Irvin sat today.
Yeah.
Especially after Irvin came on strong. I think they're saving Irvin for a playoff push because that's the only reason you signed old guys like that.
I think the only reason they didn't come up is because Bohannon would have been had to be on the main roster. If they brought him up, he'd have to have been on the 53-man roster. So they had to promote him. They can't pull him off the practice squad anymore because they did for three games already. Irvin, maybe they're holding him out for the last couple of games of the season. You know, I don't know.
I'm confused. Bohannon's back on the practice squad?
You get to be pulled up from the practice squad three times. And after that, if you're pulled up, you're on the 53-man roster.
Yep.
And you pay it accordingly.
He must
Bohannon's been pulled up three times.
Oh, and, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And Irvin's been pulled up once, and he was effective. But maybe they're holding him out to the last couple of games of the season. I don't know.
You don't make the Von Miller on the Bills mistake last year and start leaning on a guy like that because you want that pass rush. Like they used Von Miller like they tried to turn him into like a full on like starter and he got injured. Like he picked the wrong team. You picked.
I think he was injured in the first game of the year. So
no, it was really. Was it? No, it wasn't.
It was
last
really
year?
Early. Yeah.
But, well, fine. Still the wrong. They used him too much. Like, I don't think it was that early, though. They used him. They were using him as a full-on starter. And when you get a guy like that, he's supposed to be your closer. Like, they're old. You don't put him for full games to get beat up, like, during the season. You put him in for specific scenarios where you want to enhance their best traits to get after the quarterback. And if you're leaning on old guys like that in the league, your team's not as good as you thought it was. and the Bills weren't as good as everyone thought they were last year. So I'm just saying, you don't want to get your guys like that hurt. They're supposed to be the guys that help you get over the hump in the Super Bowl and all that. They're not supposed to be the guys that win you regular season games during the meat of the game. Like maybe to close out games, but not to get you to the end of the game from the beginning to start. Those are for your young boys to, like Hutch and stuff, to just be out there.
I'll stand corrected. It was about like the eighth or ninth game he got injured last.
Wow, thank you.
It wasn't the first game.
Well, that just tells me you picked the wrong team. Like those guys sign to these Super Bowl contenders because they're supposed to be somewhat almost like superfluous, like that thing that makes you extra good, not the thing that makes you competitive in the first place. And he was used way too much. And I'm glad we're not using Irvin too much.
I mean, you pay him $20 million a year, so
yeah,
it'd be weird if they didn't use him a lot. No,
I mean, I don't know.
Game changing player.
I would use him at the end. I would know if I had Von Miller as like a middle aged Von Miller, whatever you want to call it, a quarterback old man. Or I mean, a cube or football old man version. Like you save him for the right times, and you try to keep him healthy at all costs because he is a game changer. But you don't want his tire. He already has got so much mileage. Like you're just gonna run him into the ground too early, and they did.
Well, to point out some good in this game, I thought Jahmyr Gibbs looked good again.
He looks so
dynamic, especially in the run game. I wish we'd use him more in the pass game, especially over the middle.
Another Ben Johnson cruise.
Yeah. Donovan Peoples-Jones made a great catch on fourth down. That was also a nice pass, but also
a
great
appearance.
Catch.
Yes.
So hopefully we see more out of him there. I thought Sam Laporta made a couple nice catches. I'm trying to think of the good.
Only made two.
You're having a hard time there, Z.
Well, I mean, Monty had some dope runs for sure.
Yeah. We mentioned those.
But like, can we just talk about Jahmyr? Because like, his patience combining with his explosiveness is becoming more and more deadly. Like, I know Barry's a high bar to invoke, but like that, I think there was one run where he like ran up into the line and like it was dead in the water. The tackle or like the end or someone broke in on his right. He like managed to like jump back around him and turn his jets. Can you hear me? He managed to turn his jets around the edge to get like a 5-yard gain out of what would have been a tackle for loss. Like you can see his patience and his ability. Like he's still got to get even a little more patient, I think, because once he turns on his jets, he's sort of like he gets stopped a little more. Like he's got to keep his eyes open when he's getting downfield into the secondary, I think, a little bit more. But man, the signs are there. This kid is going to be something special the more and more experience he gets.
I agree. He's looking really good.
Yeah, I hope we can just use him more, especially in the pass game. I want to see a little more out of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Can we is Ben Johnson? I don't want to say overrated, but like there's just some things about him that bug me, like in the way he calls his offense. Like it just seems like he always ends up falling into this stretch of the game where the other team just sees everything he's doing and shuts it all down, and then maybe he comes back alive, like third quarter, I guess. But like
there were times when it was execution today, but I say overall Johnson did not call a great game.
No, this is the second worst game of the year offensive play calling.
What was it last week?
Ravens.
Oh, what about last week when we went dead silent for like five drives in the middle of the game and went three and out mostly? He does that though. He has this times where he just kind of like his play calling just sort of starts to slack off. And like they get predictable and we stall out a lot. Like
I think sometimes he's too patient even. Like
yeah.
Have a little more urgency sometimes.
Aggression.
You know? Aggression too. No, you're right on that point. Aggression is important. Like we need to be throwing at least one to JMO every game. We haven't really thrown him any.
Well, they threw him one. It was short.
The one we throw to him, we get pressure up the middle, so we just don't go to him again. Like, the dude's a deadly weapon. You gotta keep him used.
Yeah.
And Jared, like you said, the perception of Jared Goff's arm, whatever. Like, he doesn't have the strongest arm, but that's fine. But, like, he can hit the long ball. You gotta, like, actually dial it up.
He's gotta actually throw one.
Hey, exactly. You gotta dial it up. And it can't be, like, oh, like, they kept a safety back, can't throw it. You got Jameson. He's deadly fast. Chuck it.
When's the last time you've seen Goff step into one and really throw one? When's the last one?
Yeah, it's I can't think of one.
I can't either. Maybe the one to Khalif Raymond last year.
Oh, that great rollout pass where he threw it back across the field. That was fantastic.
Just name the last time Goff stepped into one and heaved one.
But think about last year. Like he hit deep balls on the sideline to Chark. He hit those kind of passes. We were throwing them. This year, I haven't seen it. I had not seen us hit the
What about the
deep balls.
In Tampa Bay? The Tampa Bay one to JMO.
Yeah,
Tampa Bay one to JMO. Which I'm trying to remember.
JMO had a 40-yard touchdown catch.
Now that was that was one there.
Yes,
it was slightly across the field.
So he came up with one.
Oh, that was a crosser though, right? It was like a deep crosser into the right corner of the end zone.
It was the deep flood. It was a flood route, and he used the deep route on it. Like it was a deep corner, I guess, if you will.
We attack the deep part of the field. What we don't attack is the deep sidelines, like with verticals, just straight verticals, like stress. Because
find the turkey hole, right?
You got it. Well, not even the turkey hole. Like you got to stress the secondary, the deep part of the secondary, consistently, or otherwise. I'm telling you, the part of our problem is they settle into this little cone of area we love to operate, and now we're seeing like a good defense like the Bears that's stingy isn't giving you a whole lot of opportunity like some defenses will. And when you play a defense like that, you can't just take what they give you because they're going to give you very, very little. You got to enforce your will and hit the deep part of the field and design plays that aren't only, okay, well, once the guy goes that way, well, the play's off. Dink it. You know, we dink it way too much sometimes. And in a game against a good defense, we dinked it way too much.
It's hard to be truly overly critical because, I mean, this is still like one of the top five offenses in the NFL. Something I noticed today, and it's like when everything's just not going quite right, especially in the pass game, and you have a guy like Jared Goff at quarterback, and then you go watch a game like Kansas City and Buffalo, and you have a guy with the athletic ability of a Josh Allen, where it's just not going right offensively, but he has the escapability and kind of the magician-like quality to make things happen when everything's just not going right.
Right.
Jared Goff definitely does not have that trait.
No.
He does not have that trait.
He has no escapability whatsoever. The most escapability I saw him, or most athletic thing we saw him, was that Monty dropped like a 10-yard catch on a Keith third down. I can't remember. I think it was last week against the Saints.
Yeah,
right?
It was at the end of the game.
He like
kind of
jump throw, sidearm throw to the side. Like, I mean, that was rare. But it just, you know, I think we talked about it too. Like, does Hendon Hooker have the qualities that they're waiting
for? I
was
going to say, are you hearing the
I don't know. I need to go back and watch his college tape a little more. It's been a minute, but
Oh, my God. No, Hendon Hooker's not going to be immediately better than Jared Goff.
No, like, I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying.
I'm not saying you are, but, like, I think people actually have this in their mind that Hendon Hooker would actually step in, and just because he's got good legs would instantly be, like, an upgrade over Jared Goff just like, he struggles sometimes.
Physically, in some respects, he is going to be an upgrade. Physically, he can throw the ball farther and better. I don't know if more accurate. He
yeah,
can
of course
definitely run, and he's more elusive, so but he's got those two things right there. And if you're talking about like JMO all the time, and a guy you can get it down there, he can. He definitely can.
He's got an arm.
I've seen him do it in college. He's got a rocket arm.
Goff can too. Dear God. Okay.
I'm just saying your offense is limited sometimes when, you know, especially in today's NFL where almost more than half the league's quarterbacks can have like the escapability that Goff does not.
I think the reality is here, though, if you're looking ahead, I don't think the Lions extend Goff this offseason. I think they let him go into next season and then fight it out with Hendon Hooker and see how it plays out.
I think you might be right.
I'm sorry, but it's just like the reality of the NFL, like Z says, you look at all these teams, these quarterbacks, that just you just need some level of elusiveness that you just, Goff does not possess.
I love Jared Goff.
I do too. And look, in the right system, in the right, when he's got the good protection, he's got people around him, he's obviously really good. We've seen it all year long.
I just want to say I agree. I'm agreeing with what you're saying. Like, I love Jared Goff, but even I hear the little Hendon Hooker whispers in the back of my ear because I do see the more complete skill set, like, you know, in terms of just that escapability potentially because he's got a little better legs. Like, and like you see, like, I agree, Z. You see these other teams, especially. I love, like, but like, it's, you know, here's the thing, you can easily throw Jared Goff out with the bathwater, so to speak. Like, because every time he looks bad, it does look bad. Like, it looks bad. Like, every time he does bad, it looks bad. And I think that makes, but like, he is so much more than like the struggles of escaping the pocket. He's like such an excellent pocket passer. And, like, you know, like, also, like, how many of these, like, running quarterbacks also get, like, absolutely trashed before they actually turn into something good? Like, people don't even know if Fields is going to stay with the Bears. But, like, he's a great running back, you know, who can chuck the ball pretty good sometimes. And he is looking better. Don't get me wrong. I think he could be really good. And I kind of hope he does not. But, like, a lot of these running quarterbacks don't necessarily pan out. And I still think it's hard to replace Jared Goff because he is a very good quarterback.
Yeah. Well, a lot more to talk about that, especially in the offseason. But
There
is one other thing I want to point out. It's a glaring weakness of Dan Campbell. You know, we love Dan Campbell, right? I want to leave it that.
Yes,
but my God, he does not know how to challenge. He is an awful, awful challenger.
The worst.
He is one of the worst challengers I've ever seen. Like, he cannot, he never wins.
Take that red flag out of his pocket and give it to another coach.
Who is advising him on these challenges?
That's what I want to know, Z. Like,
that was under sideline. Like, they should clearly see it. That was not even a challengeable play.
No. And like, is he waiting for advisement from the booth? Or like,
you'd imagine.
Here's my guess though, because I think I got a decent bead on Dan Campbell's mentality. And I do think he's a very instinctive guy. Even though he's very smart, but he also very much leans into instinct. And I feel like he's even said this before. Maybe that's why I know it. But, like, I bet he was like, you know what? We just need something to happen right now. That ball kind of moved as he was falling. Maybe it's worth the chance. And just tossed it.
If the Lions need a timeout late in that game,
they're
screwed.
Exactly.
Either that or like you need to fire the booth guy because that guy's giving him terrible advice.
Right. So I don't know what's going on there. But, I mean, in his whole tenure he's been here, he's been a horrible challenger. It's not something new.
Oh, it's weird. And he said that before, I think. Oh, sorry. Go, UJ.
No, I mean, you talk about Campbell's personality and, you know, that leads to him going for the fourth down all the time, including that from our own 30-yard line today, which turned out to be disastrous. But I think this is the way he feels about this team. He challenges this team every time, you know, like, we're going to do this thing. And if we don't, then the challenge on us is to fix it. And the guys have been up for it all season long. But sometimes.
Hey, though, the defense responded.
Discretion is the better part of valor sometimes.
Defense held to a field goal on that drive.
To a field goal, yeah, they did.
I'm telling you, that defense, like, I know they battled today, man. I don't care what the score says. They showed something today, especially in generating pass rush. That was very encouraging because I believe with, like, almost 100% certainty that this offense is going to bounce back from this performance. Like, whenever Dan Campbell focuses his attention on something, you generally see improvement. And I think it's clear that he focused on that defensive pass rush this week. And you saw a serious improvement. Well, I think it's a safe bet he's going to be looking at that offense next week and cleaning up all that crap that we saw today. And I think we're going to see a serious bounce back from this offense because Lions hadn't bounced back down the street. That's right. Wait, how? Oh, I'm telling you this. KJ's putting up little things. But, yeah, anyway, I just think he's going to put his attention on this offense and we're going to see dramatic improvement. Because I still think they're barely scratching the surface of their potential.
So before we wrap up here, I do want to just update on where the Lions stand. You know, the one seed is pretty much it's going to take a lot of help to get there, especially with the Lions have lost their third conference game. The Eagles and 49ers. Eagles and Cowboys are playing right now. But both of them would have a tiebreaker over the Lions for any one seed. And then the 49ers are right there at 10-3. The Lions fall to 9-4. They're the 3 seed still. I mean, the Buccaneers would have they are the 4 seed now after beating Atlanta. If the season ended today, the Lions would still be playing the Vikings, who won 3-0 over the Raiders. 3-0.
Wow.
And they are still alive. And the Lions play them 2 of the last 3 games. Their offense looks rough, though. They would switch quarterbacks midway through the game. It did not work for the most part. It worked just enough, I suppose. The Packers play tomorrow night. If they're playing the Giants. They're favored. If they win that game, they go to 7-6. And the Lions have only a 2-game lead in the division with 4 to go. It's not a done deal. And this is the Lions we're talking about. It's far from a done deal. That's for certain. But, you know, the Lions, their remaining schedule is at the they get a much needed home game. The Lions have a lot of road games to end the season here, but they badly need this home game, the Detroit crowd, to jolt them back into double digit win territory. And that's a primetime game on Saturday night at 7:15 Central.
Aren't we better on the road?
Well, now it's even.
Oh, after that today.
Yeah.
Today was our last outdoor game of the regular season, though.
Yes,
so
thank
that
God.
Could be favorable.
It's definitely favorable, especially for our offense. It definitely operates better on the turf, especially in Goff's tenure. The numbers paint out that way. Or his career, really, outdoor versus indoor.
I wonder if that's pretty consistent for most quarterbacks.
I'm not sure.
During the winter, at least.
So, yeah. So, anyways, we play the Broncos, and the Broncos they've turned their season around. It's also Dan Campbell's mentor, Sean Payton. So that's a big factor there too, I think, perhaps. And then 2 of the last 3 games
for the master
at Minnesota, a really, really tough game against the Cowboys, at Dallas on Monday Night Football on December 30th.
Yep.
Is that Monday Night Football or
watch that be
it's
like
Saturday Night Football, 2 Saturday games against the Cowboys. I mean, the Cowboys look really good. They look really good tonight against the Eagles too.
I mean, no doubt.
They could be going for the one seed at that point.
But that's just like what I love about the league. You think like you can predict things based on the past, but they just often have very little bearing. You just see the bad team destroys the top team. It's like, I love NFL, like football. It's so great.
And then the season ends on January 7th at home against the Vikings. That could be for the playoffs. It could be for the division. Hopefully it's wrapped up by then, but the Lions' schedule is a lot tougher than people thought down the stretch here, because you know, the Broncos got off to a horrible start. The Vikings got off to a horrible start. They turned their seasons around. So all winning teams to end the season.
The same team twice in three games.
It's goofy.
Is tough, no matter who you put in that slot. Beating a team twice in 3 weeks is hard, no matter how you cut it. And the thought that we could potentially see them for a third week in a row in the playoffs, or not, it wouldn't be a third week in a row, but a third time in a row. Yeah. that's so wild.
That would be truly wild. See a team 3 out of the last 4 weeks.
But at least theoretically, we've hit our valley now, and we'll be hitting the upslope in this next stretch.
That's what I'm hoping.
A lot of these teams are hitting their strides. They showed a lot of these other quarterbacks and stuff that had great ratings this week, like the Ravens and blah, blah, blah. And I just think the Lions are just a little behind that curve. But that's not necessarily a bad thing, because I'd rather be peeking into the playoffs than before the playoffs.
That's a good point.
Assuming we peak.
Right. I think the bigger threat to the division right now is the Packers, because their schedule stinks down the stretch. They're at New York Giants, play the Tampa Bay Bucks. At Panthers, the Panthers are a truly, truly horrendous team, and they don't have their first pick, which unfortunately is to the Bears, of course. And then at Minnesota, then against the Bears in the season.
Packers got some weapons. They got a good defensive pass rush.
Well, Watson's hurt for them
again. Jordan Love's getting better.
Yeah. 4 games left. We're 2 game lead, and it's not a given.
Nope.
It's not a given, but also we're very much in the driver's seat, baby.
I'd rather be ahead than behind. That's for sure.
Right. I'm pretty sure today was our very first one of the season where we gave up a lead and lost.
Well, if Green Bay somehow loses tomorrow, the Bears would only be 1 game out of the playoffs.
Like, have we blown a lead besides today this season once? I don't think we have.
Good point. Might have. I don't know.
We almost blew it against the Saints. We didn't.
But we didn't. I don't think we did.
Well, the Ravens we never even sniffed a lead.
Yeah, I don't think we ever sniffed one. The Seahawks? Maybe we had a lead. I don't think maybe we tied, but I don't feel like maybe we had a lead early, but I don't know. I don't remember us ever blowing a lead this year. Like, we've been really good at protecting our leads for the most part.
We blew a lead against Seattle. We were up 14-7.
Oh, okay. Pretty early. Hey, well.
Then 21-14, then 21-17.
Like, that's pretty good, though. We've lost 4 games this year. We haven't lost 2 games in a row. We've only blown 2 leads. Like, how many teams can put that together in a sentence? I don't think there's very many.
Not too many.
Just got to play their asses out the last 4 games. Don't even look at the scoreboard. Every play like it's your last play of your life, and just go out there. And don't even worry about the score. Fuck it.
100.
Just go out there and play as hard as you can, man.
Live every play like it's your last.
Chips fall where they may.
Definitely.
And, like, seeing Hutch how angry he was after today, I think he's going to be a terror for the rest of the season. He's already practically a terror, but, like, I just think he's found a new level today. He finally started kind of figuring something out. Because I really do think Glenn puts this defense in a tough position and really demands a lot. And we finally saw them kind of starting to figure that out today. And I'm very, very excited about the future of this team still.
We'll be talking about that game on Saturday later this week, so stay tuned for that. Thank you for everybody that joined us on YouTube here at DTBK. If you're listening on a podcast, so go to YouTube, subscribe, search at DTBK or Drinking a Blue Kool-Aid. Follow us, our channel, so you can hit all our live streams up. Instagram at Drinking a Blue Kool-Aid. Twitter/X at Drinking Lions. Thank you to SidelineReport.com for supporting the podcast. Greatly appreciate that. Thank you to all our listeners. We really, truly appreciate you, especially sticking with us, especially after a loss like this. And we want to, of course, especially thank our producer,
Kid Jay.
Hooray. All right. Well, thank you, everybody. We greatly appreciate you, and we'll be back later this week previewing the Lions' tough home matchup against the Denver Broncos. The resurgent Denver Broncos. The Broncos, who are only one game out of their division after the Chiefs lost. Oh, you know, just really quick. Did you guys see the Travis Kelce lateral play that did not count? That's one of the that was one of the greatest plays you'll see not count in the NFL.
It was brilliant. It was brilliant, actually.
The Chiefs had the ball in midfield. All they needed was a field goal to at least tie the game, send it overtime. This was like with 50 seconds left. Kelce catches it over the right middle, kind of the right hash, and he breaks like a tackle, and there's two guys approaching him, and he throws like probably a 15-yard pass backwards across the field to his left. A perfect spiral. Perfect spiral. And Kadarius Toney walks into the end zone 20 yards later. It was like a hook and ladder kind of throw, and it didn't count because Kadarius Toney lined up offsides as a wide receiver, which you never see. Usually the ref corrects you and gets you lined up correctly.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, he was blatantly offside. It was the correct call, technically. Yeah. But the Chiefs were mad because they didn't correct him, because usually they do that. But maybe they're moving too fast. I don't know. But anyways, that was wild. But thank you, everybody, for listening to the podcast. We'll be back later this week. And last but not least, as always, go!
Go!
Field, a charging team that will not yield, and when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave, rock, 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 go hard, win the game, with honor you will keep your fame, down the field and gain, a Lions victory,
go!
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.